Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
All right, how many of you like Legos this morning? I know Pastor Daniel loves Legos. His office as our children's pastor is filled with Legos. I've got a couple of Legos right here. And the thing about Legos is that they have several connection points on them. Now, if you just connect them at a few points, it's very easy to remove the Legos. And the more connection points you put them on, the more difficult it is to remove them because they have a more solid connection. And when you get all the points connected, how many of you ever had those Legos and you're trying to pry those little bricks apart and you just can't get them and it's kind of tough, right? How many of you experienced that before playing with Legos? Yeah, because when you've got all the connection points solidly connected together, it forms a solid connection. And so this morning we are beginning a series on relationships, and the title of this morning's message is called The Love Connection. And I want to thank everyone for being with us, especially our online audience. Today we're focusing on marriage, all right? Normally, I do a marriage or a message on relationships, romantic relationships, around Valentine's Day. But how many know they've moved the Super Bowl to next Sunday, the day before Valentine's Day? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, ladies, I feel for you. If it wasn't bad enough to get your husbands to think about you and remember Valentine's Day, now they put man's other love, football, the day before it, okay? So we're going to talk about Valentine's, about really marriage today. So guys, this gives you a week. Valentine's is next Monday, okay? I'm your friend. I'm Craig. I want to help you, all right? So Valentine's is next week. We're going to be focusing on marriage today. This is a standalone message on marriage. Next week, we have Trayton Welch. Don't forget to pick up your invite card. It's going to be a powerful Sunday. And yes, Pastor Zach, I am excited about Trayton being with us. Come early, invite some people for those mini footballs that he's going to be autographing. The following week, on the 20th, we're going to start a four-week series on difficult people. How many know some difficult people in your own life? How many, that person is sitting next to you? No, don't do that, okay? On the 20th, we're going to talk about how do you deal with overly critical people. The next Sunday, overly needy people. On March 6th, it'll be manipulative and controlling people. And then we'll finish up with hypocritical people. And then on March 20th, our last message in the series is something that we're calling relation slips. Relation slips. Three things that cause us to slip up in our relationships. So make sure that you are part of that over the next few weeks. As we hone in on marriages today, I realize that a lot of times when we talk about marriage and relationships, there can be a lot of pain in the building. And sometimes, and realize when I speak on marriage and relationships, I cannot address every single specific situation. I give specific principles, but they don't necessarily, sometimes if you'd look at a situation to do what that principle says, how many know that in context, you don't always just take everything verbatim, okay? And I can't address that. And so at the same time, I don't want someone to say, well, Craig, my situation's unique, and so this doesn't apply to me. What I want you to do, what I pray that all of us do, is that we have an open heart and an open mind to the Holy Spirit. And we would say, Holy Spirit, speak to me about my relationships. If I'm single, about my dating relationships or my perspective on dating. If I'm married, speak to me about my marriage and not so much about God, how to change my spouse, but God, how do you want me to change? God, what do you want to speak to me about? And I want to just pray for us this morning that we would have an open heart and an open mind to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. So join me in prayer. Father God, I thank you that you love us so much and you gave us your Son. And that's the love you want manifest in all of our relationships. So Holy Spirit, right now, We want your ways, and I thank you because there is times when you speak to us and the light bulb comes on and it's a revelation of what to do. There's also times where you convict us and you prick our hearts and we say, ouch. Lord, I pray that whether it's a light bulb or whether it is a prick of the heart, God, that today we would say yes to you, we'd surrender our will, and we would be obedient. Be glorified in our lives, our marriages, and relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, if you've got your study notes, they're on the back of the worship program as you walked in today and you were handed one by the greeters. Also, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can go ahead and look at that. Look at Radius Church on the events page and you'll find us, and our study notes are right there. Number one thing that we want to talk about this morning as we talk about the love connection is that humans have three levels to their being. God created us with different parts. There's three different parts, and the greatest love connection results when marriages connect on all three levels. The greatest love connection happens when marriages connect on all three levels. We learn about these three different parts when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica. In his first letter to them in chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spirit, soul, body. These are the three parts that Paul identified. These are the three parts that make up who we are as human beings. And I believe that when it comes to the marriage relationship, God wants us to connect on all three levels. Now, we used the illustration with the Legos just a little bit ago. And I've got some Legos here with some numbers on them, and you can see them more in depth because I realize from where you're sitting, you might not be able to see the numbers. But you can see on the red Lego, there's a level of 1, 2, and 3. Same with the blue Lego. Now, if we connect, and I just lost one of my stickers. I pulled it off. We'll put it back on there. So if we just connect at one level, there's a connection there, but it can be removed very easily. And also notice that to connect, and it might be hard to see, that it's upside down. They're not right side up. When you and I only connect with our spouse at one level in our marriage, things aren't going to be totally aligned. Things are going to be a little bit upside down. And even if you connect at two levels, there's a little bit more solid connection, but it still can come apart quite easily. But now, you know, the ones and the twos are not totally aligned. It's still off sync. However, when you connect at all three levels, you now have everything perfectly aligned, and now you have a connection that is hard to really get apart. You really have to work at it. It doesn't come apart easily. And so when you and I connect with our spouse, spirit, soul, and body, it provides a solid connection, a great level of intimacy that we don't realize. Now, point number two in your notes is the converse is also true. The love connection is weakened when one or more levels are neglected or only one spouse attempts to connect. We just saw how the levels work if you only do one or two. But let's say one spouse says, "I'm going to go all in. I want to connect." But the other spouse says, "I'm not going to cooperate. I don't want to connect with them." You still have a weak connection. So our goal, if you want a great marriage, how many want a great marriage? Okay. How many singles want a great marriage? Someday? Yeah, okay. Learn about these love connections, these three levels, and we're going to talk about it today. We're going to unpack these to kind of help you a little bit understand them in a greater way. So let's take a look at under the levels of love connection. The first level there is spirit. We want to define this so you understand what we're talking about with spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is connecting yourself and your spouse with God. It's connecting on a spiritual level. It's the part of us that connects with God. And so we want to connect on a spiritual level. The soul is connecting with your spouse on an emotional, mental level, and then body is connecting with your spouse on a physical or a sexual level. Now, for those of you who are watching online, if you have young kids in the room, you may want to come back and watch this later, because we're going to talk about some things that you may not want little ears to hear, all right? And maybe some of you have little ears in here. We have kids' church. Hopefully they're upstairs. If not, you can go ahead and check them out. You can take them up there if you like. Because we're going to talk about some very practical things, things maybe you don't hear about much in church. I know that when I preach these types of messages, my wife, I think like every pastor's wife, this is her favorite Sunday. Not. But she, I joked with her this morning. She was doing the greenery. I says, you know, honey, you don't have to come down and sit up front. You can just sit in the back, so that way you're good. But she's there, so thank you, hon. I love you. So spirit, soul, body. Now, you may remember a few months ago when we were at Christmas, we did our 316 series, and when we talked about the message God so loved, we learned that the Greek language had many different words for the word love. What's interesting is that three of those words relate to spirit, soul, body. And just to kind of maybe give you a little bit of a refresher, the word agape, agape love, that refers to the spirit. Agape is an unconditional, selfless love. That's God's love for us. When it says God so loved the world, or it says God is love in 1 John, the word there is agape. That's the kind of love God has for us. Agape love looks out, number one, for what is God's interest, and then also what is in the interest of the other person. Agape love is not selfish. Instead, it is selfless. Agape love doesn't focus on me. It focuses on God, and it focuses on others. It is a sacrificial love that lays down what I want in order to do what God wants and to help someone else. That's agape love, and that relates to the spirit level, and we'll unpack the spirit level in just a moment. The word phileia, that is a Greek word that talks about a friendship love, and this relates to the soul. Phileia love is emotional intimacy and closeness. It's soul to soul, heart to heart. That comes through sharing. And then the Greek word eros, that was used for a physical romantic love, for a sexual physical attraction, and that relates to the body. And that's the kind of love that puts the spark in your marriage. That's the love that's driven by sexual longing. And in marriage, you want this love. You only in marriage, all right? That love, you should be attracted to the person you date. But you reserve sexual intimacy for marriage. And we'll talk more about that when we come to the body level of the love connection. So in a nutshell, that's what those are. Now let's unpack these to gain a more clear understanding of how we can apply these levels to our relationships. So number one this morning, the first level is spirit. The first level Paul mentions is spirit, and that's the part that connects you and I to God. This is the first thing that Paul shared, and I believe that's because it's the most important and it's foundational. This is what makes you and I different from the animal kingdom. Animals can't have a relationship with God. Animals don't pray. Animals cannot be saved because they do not have a spiritual being the way we have a spiritual being. We are created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In your notes this morning, God created us in his own image to have a relationship with us. God created us in his image to have a relationship with us. God wants a relationship with every single person on the planet. He made man to have a relationship. We were created. We did not evolve from the animals. Animals were not made in God's image. We are. Our 316 series, God so loved the world. God loves us. That implies a relationship. And not only does he love us, but he wants us to love him back. The greatest commandment, Jesus said, and it's recorded in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 22, verse 37, is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So, when you look at this spirit level, the question you want to ask yourself when you're looking for someone to date, so this is our singles, I'm going to make application to both singles and marriage this morning. If you're looking for someone to date, the first thing you look at is this person connected to God? Does this person have a relationship with God? Is this person loving God or do they love themselves? Because if you do not have God's love at the foundation of your life, then you don't have an unconditional, selfless love. Instead, it'll be skewed and there'll be a selfish love and an agenda behind it. It's really hard to love unselfishly when you haven't taken care of your sin nature. All of us are sinners. All of us have done wrong. None of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. Even though I might like to think I am, just ask my wife and daughter, they will tell you I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. At Christmas time, my grandsons, twin grandsons, 2 years old, they came up from Texas. We had a great week with them. And I love those little guys. But you know what? Those little guys, they're selfish. We don't have to teach them how to be selfish. We have to teach them how to share. The whole human condition, we are oriented to ourselves. And if you don't think that's true, let's take a group picture after church, okay? You know what constitutes a good picture? You look good. The person next to you, their hair might be up, there might be a booger hanging from their nose, their fly might be down, and you're saying, hey, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. But you, hey, if that's you, then you're saying, no, let's do a redo. Come on, let's do another one. Why? Because we look at ourselves, and so if we haven't surrendered ourselves and received God's love and realized that we are sinners, separated from God, and that God so loved us, he gave us his son. That's why Jesus came, because Jesus was sinless. And he needed to die for sin, because the wages of sin is death. You and I deserve to die. But when Jesus died, and he didn't deserve to die, he took everyone's death penalty upon himself. And when he did that, he opened up a way for you and I to enter into relationship with God, so that we can love God. How do we do that? It's through the two R's. It's through repenting and receiving. We repent of our sin. The Bible says, repent and believe. We repent, and the word repent, it means really to change direction. If you're going east and you repent, it means you're turning around. You're not going that direction anymore. You're turning from what you want. You're turning from your selfish ways, and you're now turning and going after God. And we repent, and then we receive God's forgiveness and his leadership. We realize that we have sinned, that we've done wrong. We realize that God needs to be in charge. When I was going my own way, when I didn't have a relationship with God, I wanted to do and whatever Craig wanted, and I was pleasing Craig. Now I want to live to please God. I'm making Jesus my boss, the leader of my life. And God wants every person here, every person watching online, to have this love relationship with him. God loves you. What we sang about the reckless love of God today. God sought you. He came after you. He wants you. And this morning, we're just going to pause right now in our message. There may be some of you, you've never had a relationship with God. I'd like everyone just to bow your heads, close your eyes, because this is a moment between you and your Heavenly Father. For those of you online, I want you to go ahead and listen to these words. We want everyone to have this opportunity to have a relationship with God. And maybe you're here and you realize you're not right with God. The Holy Spirit, he convicts us. I know there's times in my life before I became a follower of Jesus, before I repented and received God's leadership and forgiveness in my life, God seemed far away. I knew I had done wrong, and I went to church faithfully. I tried to do a lot of good things, but all those things did not take away my guilt. And the reason is that the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness that we do, but it's according to God's grace that He saved us. God gave Jesus to die on the cross. And if I'm trying to earn God's favor by what I do, I'm not going to feel it. I'm going to feel guilty. And maybe you heard this morning, or you're watching online, and you know you're not right with God. You know that you haven't surrendered your life, you haven't surrendered your will. And you'd say, Craig, this morning I realize I've sinned. I need to turn from my sin. I need to repent. And I need to receive God's forgiveness and His leadership. And if that's you in this building or watching online, just go ahead and raise your hand. Just go ahead and put your hand up high and say, that's me. I want to be forgiven. I want a relationship with God. I want to experience this love that you've talked about. If you're watching online, go ahead, raise your hand in the comfort of your home or wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening to us, and just say, God, here I am. I need your forgiveness. Anyone else this morning, you'd say, I need this relationship with God. I need to become a Christ follower. Maybe some of you, there was a time you were walking with God, but you've walked away. Thank you, I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else, you'd say, I want this relationship. Thank you, I see that hand. Anyone else? I'm going to say this prayer, and I'd like all of us to repeat after me, no one praying alone. Father God, You love me. You gave Your Son to die for my sin. I confess I've done wrong. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I'm turning from my sin. I'm turning to You. I receive Your forgiveness. I receive Your leadership. You are in charge of my life. I surrender my will. And I receive Your love. Thank You for giving me a relationship. Amen. If you said that prayer, I just want to welcome you to God's family. And we want to help you grow in your relationship with God. And we've got a book out at our Welcome Center that really lays out how you grow in that relationship with God. And so there is a card in the seat in front of you, and on the there is a place you can fill it out. The welcome card in the first box says, I received Christ today. We'd like you to check that box, take it to the Welcome Center out near the coffee and the cookies, and then you can just go ahead and they'll give you the book, and we'd like to just to help you in this new relationship. Also, those of you watching online, you can contact us. You can call us at 307-265-9121. We'll mail you that book, or you can email us at contact@radiuschurch.life. Can we just celebrate with those who entered into a relationship with God this morning? Amen. Amen. Heaven's rejoicing. It says they heaven rejoices more over one person repenting of their sin than 99 righteous who say they have no sin. So God is rejoicing. The angels are rejoicing today. So we need a relationship with God. The people we date need a relationship with God. So how do we connect spiritually? Well, number one, you want to have a growing relationship as an individual. We need a growing relationship because, and as you're growing in it, you share with your spouse, you share with the person you're dating what God's doing in your life, all right? You should not kind of hold God and make it secret and only spring it on someone you're dating later on, oh, by the way, I'm a Christian. That should be something very upfront that God is the foundation of your life. Now, we've got a diagram up here. What happens when one person only is growing or when both are growing? If both the guy and the girl or the husband and wife are growing in their relationship with God, Notice how that the further you go up and get closer to God, the distance between you minimizes, right? So the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. So it's important for you to have a growing relationship, and the person you're dating has a growing relationship with God. But if one of you is growing towards God and the other is falling away, notice how the distance between you now lengthens and becomes greater. That's why it's important that you're reading the Bible, you're praying, you're taking time with God on your own, and that the person you're dating does that. And it's particularly important as couples that we are growing spiritually ourselves. And you're sure what happens now? There's something else that we can do. Not only do we want to individually have a growing relationship, but together as a couple, you want to grow in your relationship with God. Now, I do not recommend dating couples to start having devotions right away, because you don't want to get super connected until you get to know them, to know if you're compatible, if you have the same values, because you can get really close. When you start praying and reading the Bible, you can get very close, and maybe this isn't the person for you to marry, okay? Realize this, not every Christian means you should, just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean you should marry them, because there's a lot of other factors involved. You just don't go out and say, finally, a Christian guy, I'm going to take him. Or finally, a Christian girl, I'm going to date her. No, there's a lot of other factors. So you don't do this till you realize the relationship is progressing and you really think this is someone you want to be. Now, couples, you're already in it, okay? You're stuck, so start doing this if you're not, all right? How do you grow together spiritually? Pray together. Pray together. Even if it's before you go to work, just take a couple of minutes and pray together. My wife and I, we try to pray before we go to bed, but sometimes that doesn't always work because in the middle of the prayer, Craig, wake up. Huh? Oh, yeah, okay, sorry about that. You can fall asleep or you're too tired to pray, but it is good to pray together as a couple. Also, you can read the Word together. You can do devotions together, a devotional. You can memorize Scripture together. Another great way is join a connect group together. There is a connect group at the Cash's house. They go over the sermon, so this is going to be a great one for them to apply tonight. It'd be great to be a fly on the wall and hear about those conversations. You do a Bible study together. You can do ministry together. Those are all daily things, things that can be part of your regular habit. And then this bottom stuff on the screen, these are kind of like special events that you can use to really bring about spirituality. You can go on a spiritual retreat together where the two of you say, we're going to go get a cabin or going to get a hotel room, and we're just going to take time with God. Maybe you've got a video series that you want to watch that is going to help you grow, or there's a Bible study book that you want to go through, but you're focusing just on your spiritual growth. There's also some cruises. There's different cruises by different ministries that you can go on, and they're a marriage weekend to help you grow with each other and grow with God. There's also marriage enrichment weekends that are great tools that can just help you develop this aspect of your marriage. So be growing together as a couple spiritually. Now, someone might say, Craig, what do I do if I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, but my spouse isn't? What do I do in that situation? Well, in your notes this morning, if a spouse is an unbeliever, stick together. That's what Paul said when he addressed this circumstance to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12 and 13. He says, if any brother has a wife who's not a believer and she's willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if any woman has a husband who's not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. So if your spouse is willing to live with you, then go ahead, stay together. You don't jettison the relationship. Be praying for them. Be planting seeds. Be a servant. You try to love and connect at all three levels and you'll be praying that God works in their life. And I realize, and sometimes those situations don't work out because it takes two to make a relationship to handle, to work. And some of you, maybe you've experienced that pain of where your spouse says, no, I don't want anything to do with God, and so then they don't want anything to do with you. I'm sorry that's happened to you. And I pray that God will bring you healing and bring you wholeness. But if you are still together with someone who's not a Christian, stick together. That's what Paul says. Okay? Now, if they want to go, he goes on to say, if they're going to depart and kick, and you say, forget it, he says, you don't have to try to fight and make it happen. He says, you let them go. All right? So that's what Paul says. Let's go on to the next point there. What about if your boyfriend or girlfriend is not a Christian and you are? Well, in that case, don't do it. That's the case where you don't stick together. And there may be some of you here today or watching online, you find yourself in that situation. This is what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial, or the devil? That's another name for the devil there. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? God knows that when we enter into a relationship with someone who's not a Christian, a very close, intimate relationship, there is going to be a spiritual tug of war. God is tugging at us, but the person wants to pull away from God. And so in that case, God says, don't yoke up, don't have a close, intimate relationship with a non-Christian. God wrote about this in Deuteronomy chapter 7. When Israel's getting ready to go on the promised land, there were a lot of pagan nations that didn't believe in God, and God said, I want you to have nothing to do with them. In verse 3 of Deuteronomy 7, he says, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. When you date someone who's not a Christian, it turns your heart away from God. I was talking to someone recently, and he was just sharing with me how, as a single guy, he met this really nice lady. She was a Christian. But he said, Craig, I realize that if I married her, I'd become a nominal Christian, because having devotions, praying, really seeking after God wasn't part of her life. And that would impact me. So you want to make sure that you date someone who passionately loves Jesus. All right? All of the singles, all the students, say, I won't date a non-Christian. Boy, that was weak. Mom and dads, pray for your kids, okay? Have a talk with them. You beat it into them at home tonight. So I'm kidding. All right. Let's move on. That's the first level. A spiritual relationship is needed. Connect spiritually. Number two, the second level God created us with is the soul. The soul, and this encompasses our mind, our will, our emotions, and our personality. The soul is what makes you you. It's your unique mental, emotional makeup. There are certain people you meet, whether it's guys or girls, and you just connect with them, right? You connect with them, and you like them. There's other people, it's like, well, they're nice and everything, but there's really not that connection. When you're looking at marrying someone, that person you should connect with on a mental, emotional level. In fact, that person should be or be in the process of becoming your very best friend. Listen to how God describes marriage when he first instituted marriage. It's found in Genesis chapter 2, 24. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That word one flesh, the Bible gives no other relationship the descriptor of one flesh. That belongs to your marriage. In your notes this morning, your marriage should be your closest friendship. No longer is it your father or mother. It says they leave their father and mother. That no longer is your primary relationship. Your primary relationship is your spouse. You become one with them. It's no longer your brother or your sister. It's no longer your best friend that you went through school with all those years. God wants your spouse to be the closest relationship you have. And so that is something that we need to work on in our lives, that there has to be a sharing that takes place. You need a close relationship. In the book Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Set me as a seal upon your heart." In other words, seal your heart. And this is from a husband and wife perspective. Seal your heart with me. In other words, don't let anyone else into your heart to be your one and only lover and companion and friend, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you exclude all other friends, but there is a special place that's reserved for your spouse. And then it says, as a seal upon your arm. By putting it on your arm, you see your arm all the time. It's right there in front of you. And what Solomon is saying is that see your spouse. That when you don't go looking and flirting with other guys or girls when you're married. Men, you are now a one-woman man. Amen. It's like no other woman exists on the planet, only your spouse. She's the only one you're thinking about. She's the only one you're looking at. And ladies, you are now a one-man woman. All right, yeah, you got it. It would have been interesting to go to the ladies first and the guys and see what happened if we had more interaction there. But no, you set as a seal on your heart and on your arm your spouse. You're not looking for anyone else. You're guarding your heart. You're protecting your marriage. There is a closeness there. It goes on to say, for love is strong as death. Friends, death is final, all right? In death, you are dead to anyone else. You don't want anyone else. You only want your spouse. And then it goes on to say, jealousy is fierce as the grave. Now, jealousy here is not the one that prevents their spouse from having other friends, all right? That is an unhealthy, smothering jealousy. It's not a jealousy that, well, honey, you can't go anywhere. I have to see you all the time. You can't talk to anyone. You can't do anything. You can't talk to your family anymore. No, that's not the jealousy it's talking about. The jealousy it's talking about is that there is a zeal that says, there is nothing that is going to stop me from loving you and only you. There is no one that I want but you, and I don't want anyone else to want you the way I want you. I don't want anyone else to have the type of intimacy and closeness that we have. It is a zeal, a passion, and a commitment that says, you're my one and only, and I want you to call me your one and only. There, it's a commitment of being one between a man and a woman, saying that we are for each other. And to obtain that level of closeness, in your notes, this kind of intimacy, it takes time talking and sharing at a deep personal level. It takes time talking, sharing at a deep personal level. You have to get to know each other. Do you have like values? Do you have common goals in life? Are you going the same direction as Christians? I mean, for me, when I was in Bible college and I knew God called me to ministry, I was looking for a wife who felt called to be a pastor's wife. I have known pastors who married someone who wasn't going in that same direction. And because of that, they're not in ministry today, because even though the wife was a Christian and she loved God, that just wasn't her calling. So you want to match at your calling. You want to match in the direction and the goals of your life. You need to connect at this soul level. Many times after couples say, I do, we can get busy with our jobs. We get busy with the kids. Problems come along, and we can start to drift away from each other because we're not taking the time to talk and to share and connect. I want to throw this out. How many of you went on at least one date before you got married, all right? Raise your hand. Okay. That's almost everyone in here. First of all, everyone who's married, raise their hand. How many went out at least on one date before you got married? Keep your hands up. How many went out at least on one date before you got married? Okay, everybody kept their hands up. You know what happens when you stop or when you get married? A lot of times you stop dating. You stop going out and having one-on-one time, exclusive time, time to talk, because now you come home and you're tired and you got to bath the kids and get them ready for bed and you got to do homework and you got to cook and you got to clean. When you were dating, you didn't care about any of that stuff. It was just the two of you. And so you need to keep connecting on that emotional level. If you don't, you will drift apart, and after years, you're going to find yourself being strangers, not feeling that closeness. You're going to feel the distance. Some of you say, Craig, I don't know where to start talking. There is a book, 101 Conversation Starters for Couples. Some good friends of ours gave us that book, and that's a great thing. If you don't know what to talk about, get that book. And when you run out, they now have another 101 Conversation Starters, okay? Work on developing closeness. It'll ask questions that you haven't thought of, and you need to start connecting. You need to just get time away with each other. When we had little kids, my wife and I practiced something called couch time, where either when I first came home or right after dinner we cleaned up, we would take 10 minutes, we'd say, kids, go play in the room, we'd set the timer on the stove, and for 10 minutes we would just talk. How's your day going? How did this go? And the reason you do that before the kids go to bed, you don't do it after they go to bed, is because your kids need to know that mommy and daddy love each other. When we stopped doing couch time, our kids just got more rambunctious and more wound up. But when they saw us taking time and talking, it produced a security in them. So start practicing couch time if you've got little kids. Just do 10 minutes, all right? You want to be one in all of your decisions, one in your money, one in how you're going to raise your kids. Develop a oneness in the main decisions of your life. If you say, well, I want to do this and I want to do that, you need to work it out, because if you're making separate decisions, you're not connecting at the soul level. Be one as a couple. Okay, let's go to the final level of the love connection. God wants us to connect spirit. He wants us to connect soul. The final level is He wants us to connect with our body. And this is the physical intimacy. It's that three-letter word that begins with S. Sex, all right? This is a level that our culture places primacy on. Many times, this is where relationships start with non-Christians. And even on the first date, they'll hook up. God intended this. Yes, you should be attracted, but to go deep at this level and for sexual intimacy, that is reserved for marriage. That is reserved for marriage. In your notes, sex is reserved for marriage between the husband and the wife, no one else. We're taught this in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, when it says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. The adulterer, adultery is sex with someone who's not your spouse after you're married. So you get married, and then you have sex with someone who's not your spouse. Fornication, or sexually immoral there, that is sex before marriage when you're single. God says save sex for after marriage with your spouse only. So in your notes, husbands and wives need to connect in sex regularly. That's really quiet in here. No amens on that one. Husbands and wives need to connect in sex regularly. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4 and 5, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Paul says, don't deprive. This is to be, the physical connection is to be a regular event between husband and wife. The only time you don't is when you both agree for a certain time and says, let's pray and fast. And the time that we would normally give to physical intimacy, let's pray and fast during that time. I know some couples, they've been fasting, but they haven't been praying, and it's been a long fast. There is something that connects you when you come together with your spouse, and it's not a selfish please me thing, but you're trying to please your spouse sexually and give them physical gratification. And when you begin to do that physically, and you're doing it emotionally and mentally, and you're connecting spiritually, friends, you have a connection that is solid, that is stable, and is hard to be broken. I wish I could help every couple connect spirit, soul, body. Because it makes an incredible difference in your life. King Solomon, this is how he described the physical union between husband and wife. It's found in Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1. He says, and he's talking about his bride, his wife. He says, how beautiful are your feet in sandals, O prince's daughter. So he calls her a princess. She's royalty. He's esteeming and valuing her. He says, the curves of your hips are like jewels, the work of the hands of an artist. Your navel is a round goblet which never lacks mixed wine. Your belly is like a heap of wheat fenced about with lilies. Now, when I read that for the first time, I thought, a heap of wheat? That's not very flattering. But the picture is there, golden wheat stalks that have been bundled together with lilies. And so as they're bundled in the middle, you've got kind of this hourglass form. He's talking about her figure. He says, you've got an hourglass figure, and it's like it's encircled with lilies around your waist area. He goes on to say in verse 3, your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your head crowns you like caramel, and the flowing locks of your head are like purple threads. Now, caramel's not the candy here, okay? Mount Carmel was a mountain that was tall and majestic and regal and impressive. And he says, just as you stand, you're impressive, you're majestic, you're regal. And then the purple threads of your hair, purple cloth, was a cloth that was only wore by royalty or those who are very wealthy. And he was saying, your hair is only worn by royalty. That's who you are. You see the esteem, the value, how awesome he sees his bride? He goes on to say, the king's captivated by your tresses. How beautiful and delightful you are, my love, with all your charms. Your stature is like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters. I said, I will climb the palm tree. I will take hold of its fruit stalks. Oh, may your breasts be like clusters of the vine, and the fragrance of your breath like apples, your mouth like the best wine. It goes down smoothly for my beloved, flowing gently through the lips of all who fall asleep. And then in verse 10, the wife responds, I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. Can you believe God wrote that in Scripture? Can you believe the Holy Spirit inspired, I will climb the palm tree and grab hold of the fruit? Amen. Friends, God wants husbands and wives to engage in sex regularly. And he wants you to connect emotionally and mentally, and be one in your decisions and work them out. Not when you've got a problem, you isolate, you ignore. No, you work through the differences and become one. And you're connecting, you're going after God with all your heart. The husband is, and the wife is. And then you're saying, we're going to lead each other and help each other spiritually. How can I pray for you? And you're connecting body, soul, spirit. And you're developing a love connection that is difficult to separate. Let's pray together this morning. Father God, I thank you that you love us, and we see in your word your desire for husbands and wives to have an incredible connection. And next to our relationship with you, marriage is to be our closest relationship. And I'm praying for every single marriage today that you would draw each couple towards your ideal. And Lord, I pray for every single today that they would purpose to follow your plan for dating and marriage. Speak to us today, God, about our relationships. This morning, I first want to talk to married couples. As you look at the levels of the love connection, the spirit, the soul, and the body, as a married couple, what level or levels need improvement? I want you to let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you about that. God wants you to be moving through all three levels, spirit, soul, body, on a regular basis with gusto. There's three common things that cause us not to connect at one or more of the levels. The first one is neglect. Maybe we're so busy with work, so busy with our schedule, the kids' schedules. Maybe we're too tired. We feel we don't have the time or the energy. Sometimes those seasons can go long. Sometimes they're for just a few weeks. But over time, we can become disconnected because we've just neglected one or more levels in our life. And if that's you this morning, maybe God's speaking to you that you need to prioritize one or more levels and make it a priority and not neglect it. Another common thing that attacks those levels is fear. Maybe you're afraid of being hurt or shut down or rejected if you talk to your spouse, if you bring up an issue, because sometimes in some marriages, one spouse is defensive. And when they're addressed with anything they've done wrong, there's a blow up, there's an explosion. Or maybe they blame, or maybe they give the cold shoulder. And maybe after so many efforts, when you've tried to approach and tried to become one in an area that's been causing a difficulty, there's either been a meltdown or an explosion, and it's just not worth the hassle. And if you're the spouse that can't receive and you can't talk about it because you get defensive, or you just, oh, I'm such a horrible person. Sometimes I've seen people, they will use that as manipulation to avoid the topic. Friends, whether you're the one that's living in fear or the one that gets offended or you don't want to talk about it, for the sake of your marriage, you need to let it go. You need to start talking and addressing issues, or it's going to destroy your relationship. There's a final thing that attacks these levels, and it's forgiveness. Our spouse does something, they say something, and it creates a hurt and a pain in our life. And sometimes, after being hurt so much, we say, I'm not going to forgive, because when we forgive, it moves us closer to someone. Unforgiveness keeps distance in the relationship. And for some of us, we're holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness. And my friend, if you do that, it is going to destroy your marriage. So this morning, with no one looking around, if you're a married couple, how many would say, God's speaking to me about these levels? Maybe I'm neglecting something. Maybe I'm living in fear, or I'm the reactionary one. Maybe it's I've got unforgiveness. I need to let go. I need to forgive. How many this morning you'd say, I need to connect better in the soul or in the body or in the spirit? God's speaking to me about my marriage. Would you just raise your hand if God's talking to you about your marriage? How you can connect better? Maybe it's not something you're doing wrong, but it's just something, some good thing that you could improve on. How many would say, God's talking to me about my marriage? That's awesome. That is awesome. I want to talk to the singles now. Maybe some of you are here today and you are saying, God, I've been waiting for someone and I don't see anyone. And you've been looking at maybe compromising. Maybe saying, well, this is a really nice guy or this is a really cute girl, and even though I know they don't know Jesus, they're a good person, and maybe you're looking at dating them, or maybe you've already started dating them, but you're unequally yoked, my friend, you will never have the kind of closeness and intimacy you desire in marriage if you're not equally yoked spiritually. Maybe some of you this morning, you're in a relationship, but as you've gotten to know that person, you realize that your values and their values, maybe they're even a Christian, but you're just going different directions. You're really not one on that emotional, mental level, and you know that it's not a good fit. But because you've been together for so long, or you're afraid there's no one, you're looking at just staying in the relationship, but you know God's been speaking to you that this isn't the right one. And there may be some of you singles today that you're dating someone and you've overstepped the bounds of sexual intimacy, something that should be reserved for marriage, and yet you've entered into it. And you need to say, God, forgive me, and you need to change how you address that. This morning, if you're single and God's speaking to you about how you view relationships or even some of the conduct, the things you're doing in a relationship, and if God's saying you need to change, I want to work on these areas of the dating relationship in your life, would you just raise your hand and saying, God's talking to me about my dating life. He's talking to me about how I see dating and marriage. I see those hands. Thank you. I want to pray for you this morning. I want you to, if you're married, I want everyone to stand to your feet. If you're married, I want you to join hands with your spouse. Father God, I come to you right now, and I pray for every person in this building. We want your ideal for our lives, because we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and you came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And we find life, there's fullness of joy in your presence when we follow your way. But when we disregard your way, God, there's going to be disappointment. There'll be sadness, there'll be pain, because that's what sin does when we don't follow your way. So God, speak to us. I pray you would knit husbands and wives together to love and connect with each other, spirit, soul, and body. I pray for singles to say, I'm going to be a person of purity. I'm going to go after God's best in my relationships. God, I want the person you want. Bring him to me. Bring her to me. God, you open the door. Lord, I pray anyone who's living in fear, anyone who's living with anger, God, you would cause it to dissipate. Those who've got unforgiveness and bitterness, help them to forgive. Lord, for those who've been busy and they're just saying, I don't know how to manage everything, Lord, I pray that they would just start with a few minutes every day doing the right thing, and God, that you would make a way where there seems to be no way. God, give us powerhouse marriages. Give us godly, Christ-honoring relationships that bring life to us. Jesus, I thank you for your love for us. Be glorified in every marriage, in every relationship. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.